Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
As LGBTQ Pride Month than as the month for Father's Day and weddings. We increasingly see corporate America jump on board. Thankfully, there has been more pushback this year than I've ever seen in the past. Are Americans waking up to the deviancy being pushed on them and their children? How should Christians respond to Pride Month? Can we retake what has been stolen, such as the rainbow? Can we use this month to further expose the dangers of embracing and celebrating these lifestyles? My guest today is Dr. Scott Lively with Scott Lively Ministries, and we'll be talking about his 30 days of Pride Month pushback. Thanks, Scott, for being with us.
Good to be back with you, Diane.
So what is the overall mission of Scott Lively Ministries?
Well, for many years, I was single issue. I was a missionary to the global pro-family movement, I describe myself. Mm-hmm. I broadened that about 5 years ago to be sort of a multi-issue, full-spectrum conservative pundit and activist. But I have never left the issue of dealing with the LGBT agenda. And this year I decided to do something different than I'd done before. And like yourself, I noticed this pushback we haven't seen before, and I decided that I would work to help educate this new generation of that go by the under the banner anti-groomer, by doing this 30 days of Pride Month pushback, putting out an article a day for the full 30 days of the month of June, so we're just about in the middle of that now. And it's going well.
Good, good. Yeah, obviously the Lord impresses upon you because it's something we need. I mean, we know that this is LGBTQA plus whatever else, whatever the letters they want to add. We know this month has been hijacked, even as the rainbow has been hijacked, for the furtherance of this deviant agenda. And we see more and more parents pushing back, more and more Americans pushing back from this, really, like you say, grooming of our children, of the future generation.
Well, I predicted this years ago. Mm-hmm. I knew even in the early days when we were fighting the agenda that that it didn't look good in the long term. We've been fighting sort of a rear guard action since the revolution. Right. Sort of the pro-family movement kind of peaked in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And then it's been in decline ever since. And I could see that trajectory. And I wrote a booklet titled Why and How to Defeat the Gay Movement, and laying out everything that I had learned and, sort of offering advice to the pro-family activists, which even then were not that many. Mm-hmm. And they were being taken out one after the other through these campaigns of personal destruction and character assassination, etc. But I put in there that the two phenomena that social cultural phenomena that could actually turn the tide eventually were, number one, the ex-gay movement. Mm-hmm. And number two, the generation of young people raised under the jackboot of the LGBT propagandists. When they came of age, having grown up under it, they would not be susceptible to the propaganda. They would be able to see through it. They knew. Mm-hmm. They would know the lies from having been
indoctrinated,
forced on them.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that those young people, once they came of age and had their own children, that would be they would rise up to protect their kids. And that's exactly what's going on. That's what the anti-groomer movement really is about. And I don't know why it suddenly sort of, exploded in the past. I think it probably has a lot to do with the with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the the resistance, the awakening of the sleeping giant,
right? And the parents who saw what their kids were being taught when they were, when the kids were forced to stay inside and do Zoom meetings and stuff, and that's how they did their education. And then parents were awake. In fact, they just interviewed someone here in PA who is a mom, and that's exactly what happened. She saw what her kids were being indoctrinated with, and she was livid. And she tried to.
And that was a big part of it. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Plus, we see the transgender movement, and we see I think that has played a big part in this also, that the books the kids are being forced to read because they're on the required reading list. They're being assigned in school to read these pornographic books. Parents are seeing this. And the transgender movement, where kids are being, taught that they've been born in the wrong body. It's a combination of several issues. So you wrote the book, you said, in the early 90s, Why and How to Defeat the Gay Movement. Was that in response? I was just going to ask, was that in response to the book After the Ball?
No. Well, After the Ball was significant. Yeah, it was sort of like a pro-family alternative, but it was just a booklet. It wasn't. It wasn't a big project. It was just something simple that I could mass produce and distribute to whoever would be interested in it. And I printed a lot of those, and I put them out there. And I've done this, for 30 some years. I have created products and strategies and tactics and resources of every kind, and just put them out there for anyone to use who is willing to take on. And there are some people that have used it. It's been, but within the boundaries of the United States, everything has been going in the decline since the very early years of my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But in other countries,
you think Bill Clinton?
Right.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton was actually, I think it was George H.W. Bush.
Okay.
I think George H.W. Bush intentionally lost to Bill Clinton because Clinton could move the ball faster in the same direction they both wanted to go. The Clintons and the Bushes have been in cahoots together from way back.
Yeah.
They represent between the two dynasties. They represent the purple uniparty, the Bushes having, the red team and the Clintons running the blue team.
And that's good. Yeah.
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 And that's been going on all along. But so I think H.W. Bush deliberately lost to Clinton so that he could, because, Bush was constrained, by conservatism. The left, drives faster when the Democrats are in power, obviously.
Yeah.
And then when the public gets antsy about it and it looks like there's going to be some pushback and, something could trigger, major resistance that they couldn't deal with, then they downshift into Republican. Mm-hmm. And they keep going in the same direction, but they downshift, go slower. And, throw a few bones to the conservatives.
Yeah. And we saw that.
Nothing.
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, we saw that with George Bush the second, so to speak, where he refused to do anything about the marriage issue. And it was becoming hot and heavy during his presidency, but he refused to his two terms, and he refused to do anything about it.
That's right. And that's how they work. They'll throw a few bones at the conservatives, but they will never do anything that reverses course.
Yeah.
Right. And that so that they'll just leave it in place. They may make some token, some sort of meaningless token response that will placate the conservatives. And then as soon as the populace has sort of gotten used to the next level of liberalism, then they shift back up into Democrat and they shoot forward again as fast as they can.
Do you think they've overstepped this time with Joe Biden's presidency?
I don't think that. I think they now recognize that they can act with impunity, and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
The only stuff that's actually being exposed right now is stuff that's bad for Biden because they need to justify throwing him under
the
bus.
Running. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they need to justify throwing under the bus. And so the stuff that's getting leaked and all that is all goes, because I've been saying this since the very beginning. I've just been saying that since the campaign, you know, before the coup. I thought Trump was going to win, but
he did. I mean, he did.
Yeah, he did. Right. I thought he was going to have his second turn, but anyway, I pointed out, you know, Biden has always been the water boy of the Democrat Party, and he's the scapegoat, all this is going to go to him, and it's all going to be excused by a sort of retroactive admission of dementia or whatever that he's got, and then it's all, you know, he gets all the blame for all the stuff that people are furious about. Mm-hmm. It's going to go onto Biden, but nobody will be able to do anything about it. There will be no consequences for him because he's mentally unstable, mm-hmm. right? But it's all we're being manipulated like
right and left.
Never
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
And but it's because of the pandemic. They moved too fast with that. They had to do what they had to come out of the woodwork in order to be able to, and out of the shadows in order to take down Trump.
Yeah.
Trump was so powerful, was so an existential threat to them, but so incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. They had to pull out all the stops to take him down. The pandemic, the lockdowns, everything,
Mail-in
every
ballots,
different
yeah.
aspect of it. Everything was about taking down Trump.
Yep, that was the purpose. For sure.
And so once they accomplished that, then they realized, you know, they had the ability to consolidate their power. That's what's happening. That's what has been going on in the O'Biden regime all this time, is the consolidation of power. I think we've lost the republic. I don't think we're gonna claw it back. I mean, there's a possibility. There's always a possibility that things could turn around, but. Well, it doesn't look good at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. You know, the bright part is that people are waking up. Now, it may well be too late, as we see parents waking up and trying to save the public education system, which I think is really a waste of time, because I think it's well beyond being salvageable. And they're still...
Get your kids out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But unfortunately, the majority of American children go to public education in the public education system, graduating from public school, and they're the future leaders of this nation. And we see, the LGBTQ movement, they're indoctrinated with it, the whole entertainment.
Well, I tell you, Diane, what I see with this is that, you know, yes, there is this glimmer of hope with the anti-groomer movement and all that, mm-hmm. but the unfortunate reality is a sizable number of those people that are rising up against transgenderism have embraced the idea of the legitimacy of so-called gay marriage, and that's a complete contradiction in their thinking. It's cognitive dissonance on the right that to fail to recognize that it's all the same thing.
Yeah,
anything. And any legitimization of sexual deviance it serves the same cause. All sex outside of legitimate true marriage is acid that corrodes the society.
Yeah.
And the further you get from the paradigm of, you know, the one flesh paradigm of one man and one woman in lifetime monogamous marriage, the further you get away from that, the faster the deterioration occurs in a society.
And folks are pushing socialism and communism are just waiting in the wings. Not so much waiting in the wings anymore. But as the family's being destroyed, we see the federal government taking over more and more the role of the parent, even towards, I think it was Biden or his so-called White House spokesperson saying that, you know, your children aren't really yours. It's really the government.
Right, and that's always been the Marxist position, right? Mm-hmm. The children belong to the state.
Yeah.
But now for the first time in America, we have local and state governments openly declaring that children, that they are going to step in to protect the children from the parents, mm-hmm. right, in order to pursue their self-determination that they're born in the wrong body and need to have surgery to fix it.
Yeah.
Now if the founding generation were functional right now in this country, mm-hmm. then there'd be blood in the streets with this level of treachery against the fundamentals of civilization. And so this is, we're in a very, very precarious place. And the fact that there's no one to hold any of these people accountable, we have a bare, slim majority in the House mm-hmm. of Representatives. Mm-hmm. That's causing a lot of this information to be exposed to the public. But no matter how much there is, and no matter how egregious it is, nothing ever happens.
Exactly.
There are no consequences for it, and it's just outrageous. And there's no guarantee that the electoral system is going to function
as it should
fairly enough for it to be overturned.
Yeah. Yeah,
what has really changed between now and 2020?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot. There's been a lot of lip service as far as, yes, we're going to secure the election, but I think the left has figured out how to cheat, and the right has not done enough to counter that, to overcome that cheating that has taken place. I mean, in November 20, this past election, in November 20, well, what were you, 2022, it was almost as if, here in PA, the House was taken over by the Democrats by just like one vote, one member. The Democrats have a majority. But it was almost as if it's almost as if the politicians are playing games with us, the voters.
And there's no pretext anymore.
Yeah.
Really, it's the barest, thinnest of pretext they're still holding up. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And they just, and they don't care that people know what's going on.
Yeah,
because
they know that nothing's going to happen. I mean, look at other, past situations with various politicians where they've done things that are illegal, blatantly illegal, and there have been no consequences, as you said. And they keep getting away with this stuff. And Americans are aware of this and becoming more and more frustrated with this whole situation with really a two-tiered justice system. And, what are we going to do? Where's the church in this? What is the church's role in all this? Or has the church completely abandoned its role in society?
Yeah, this is the church has not lost its role. I mean, the remnant church is really at the heart of the resistance movement. Mm-hmm. What hope there is for any sort of change is really being driven by awakened Christians
mm-hmm.
Who recognize the time that we're in and are doing what they can, and that I think is also that's a big part of the anti-groomer movement that's mm-hmm. rising up right now. I think it's heavily influenced by Christians,
mm-hmm.
and that's all positive. But the part of the pandemic, the strategy of the pandemic, was to close the churches.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that and things are still not back where they were. Church attendance is down enormously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the centrality of the church in a lot of people's lives is just gone. And how do you come back from something like that? Especially when you have the gay theology, continuing to eat away at the base.
Scripture says exactly, yeah. And not enough churches are willing to address this issue. I mean, we see the recent split in the United Methodist Church. Over 4,000 United Methodist churches are no longer United Methodist churches, and we see this happening. And so the gay crowd's taken over the United Methodist Church, and who's the next church? Next church target, next denomination target. I mean, they're going to work until they completely destroyed. Well, they're
right. They're relentless, mm-hmm. and that we've seen that and across the board. It's just simply relentless.
Yeah.
This is a demonic stronghold. It's like the Borg. right? You know, yeah, years ago when
Star Trek.
When Mike Pence, remember? Yeah, oh. Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana.
Oh yeah.
Right? And Matt Staver's Religious Freedom Restoration Act was being voted in by the Indiana legislature, and then all of a sudden there's this, you know, the whole Obama orchestrated coalition of all the institutions came down on Indiana, you know, the sports teams, I think they're not going to, you know, they're not coming to Indiana, all the corporations, all the other usual suspects, and all of a sudden Pence himself comes in and pulls the thing that pulls the bill off the table until it can be watered down. And I put out a piece then titled Indiana Meets the Borg, and that's exactly what happens. And once and as soon as the Borg assimilates another institution, then immediately it's used. It becomes part of the Borg itself, and becomes an offensive tool and weapon for the rest of civilization that hasn't been assimilated yet.
Right,
that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's true.
That's demonic. Cool.
Yeah, it is. And the Borg is an excellent description of what we see happening as the LGBTQ crowd tries to assimilate everyone. And if you don't toe the line, if you don't affirm them, celebrate their lifestyle, then you will be targeted for annihilation,
for
really.
Destruction. And that's what we all face. And this is so the only way you can really effectively cope with this is to step into the prophetic realm of Christendom and recognize that this is exactly what the Bible predicts is going to happen in the last days, even to the point of the centrality of the LGBT agenda to it. You know, one of my books is titled The Petros Prophecy, and it's an analysis of 2 Peter chapter 2, where Peter, the Apostle Peter, basically warns what the and describes what the last days heresy is going to be that transforms the world and paves the way for the Antichrist kingdom. And there's nothing that fits except gay theology, and it fits very well when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2. That's what the Petros prophecy is about, Simon Peter's prophetic warning about the heresy of the last days.
Wow. Because there's no question the LGBTQ crowd is active in every nation in the world.
You know, right. It's a global phenomenon. There's never been anything like this. I mean, really.
Yeah.
There's never been anything like this. A global phenomenon that's built around the most abominable conduct, most sinful conduct of the scriptures. It is the form of behavior that is the harbinger of the wrath of God every time it becomes normalized in the society. It's not so much the number of people that are engaging in the behavior themselves, it's the embrace of the ideology and the normalization of it by the larger society.
Right.
That's what's the harbinger of God's wrath, and that's, you know, we're just plunging toward that.
Oh yeah, and that's why the kids are being targeted so much, because they, you know, the activists figure that, you know, some of the older generation will never accept their lifestyle, never affirm their lifestyle, but they are indoctrinating the kids to accept this as normal. And
that's right. It's all about the kids.
Absolutely.
It's never been about us. They placate us to the limited ability that we will, you know, sort of go along with something, or we feel like we've accomplished something when this sort of meaningless half step in our direction takes place. And meanwhile, it's all a distraction. Keep us busy while they focus on the kids and brainwash them to the point that they don't understand reality anymore.
Right, right.
How can it be that so many young people will voluntarily abandon the self-evident reality of their male or female physiology and voluntarily enter into this insanity in which they are declaring that they're the wrong gender. You know, by the, how many? I mean, the tens of thousands of kids? There's got to be,
I think so, too. And as we see more and more of these so-called professional organizations, such as the APA and the American Medical Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, I mean, they're all saying, yes, this can actually happen, that your child may be born in the wrong body. As you see all these institutions jumping on board in all of these hospitals, so-called hospitals, gender clinics, making tons and tons and tons of money on our kids.
Yeah, the collusion that's taking place between the medical industry and the street activists of the LGBT, you know, homo fascism, that's really one of the most shocking. It's less shocking having been through the pandemic and seen what they did with COVID. But and in some ways, it almost softens the blow to see what they're doing now and with the transgender insanity. My whatever trust I had for the medical industry is pretty much shot at this point.
Oh yeah, mine's going out the window for sure. How can folks access your 30 days of pushback?
Well, the scottlively.net, the Biblical Worldview Resource Center. All my books and articles are available there. You can contact me by email if you want to. Two days a week, my WorldNet Daily is publishing articles that are part of the series. And then if you go at scottlively.net, subscribe, and you will automatically get the rest of the series in your inbox.
Yeah.
But we also post them there at the site. That we have a special page, 30 Days of Pride Month Pushback. And you can read the articles that have been published already.
Yeah, your website has tons and tons of great information, that's for sure. And we definitely need help in pushing back against this whole agenda, because people are just now waking up. But in too many cases, they don't know what to do, or in too many cases, they just want to slink back into their homes and shut the doors and the shutters and all this stuff and pretend it's not happening, or they're afraid to speak up because they've seen what's happened to those who have spoken up, as far as being silenced, as far as being, you know, kicked off Facebook or whatever. Social media has played a big part in this agenda.
And
I've read too many stories about kids who, quote unquote, discovered they were transgender when they were doing research online.
My recommendation to everyone is get your life back on what's most important, your family relationships, your connections with your community, your place among the remnant of believers.
Yeah.
Disconnect from the things of the world to the extent that you can. You know, you will maximize your ability to protect yourself and your family from what's coming down.
Yeah.
But, you know, it looks like it's going to get a lot more serious from here on out. You know, maybe there'll be a reprieve for a while, but it'll only be temporary because the writing's on the wall. The infrastructure, the global infrastructure of Judeo-Christian civilization is being jackhammered away right from under us.
Yep.
And nothing that we do seems to have any effect on that at all. And that puts us in the prophetic context where, you know, we know how this is going to play out. We shouldn't be taken by surprise.
We should not. But we do know who wins in the end. We've read the end of the book. So I encourage our listeners to go to scottlively.net and check out his 30 Days of Pride Month Pushback and scottlively.net. And thanks so much, Scott, for taking time to articulate these 30 days of pushback during this month. And this month has been hijacked by the LGBTQ crowd. And I really appreciate your work.
Thanks, Diane. God bless you. Talk to you next time.
And God bless you, too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.